Now, we didn't do a sound check ahead of time, so check me out there, Dylan. It looks good. Go get your eyes checked. So we're going to do communion, and we do open communion here. And if you don't know, what in the world does open communion mean? Well, it means that if you've received Christ as your Savior, you're invited. Join in with us. And if you don't feel like you can, if you've got something that's you need to bring to the Lord and you want to confess or you want to have another thing like that, hold off. That's fine too. Well, let's pray for these guys as they pass us out and the singers are going to sing a little bit. Lord, guide us as we participate in communion and remember your sacrifice. Help us to glorify you today in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as usual, I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 11. The small type, I got to put these on still. 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23. And I'm going to read this while they're passing that out. No, I'm not. You're going to sing.
We're going to sing.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
You can all sit and sing Amazing Grace. Ready?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now
Verse 23 of chapter 11. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So we're going to take the cracker part, folks, and I'll say a prayer, and we'll all eat it together after I pray. Thank you, Lord, for this chance to be remembering your death, but most of all, your resurrection, too. And Lord, thank you that you were willing and obedient to go to the cross and offer your body as the sacrifice that would fulfill what we needed to have done, that you fulfilled justice for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Feet together. And I got to start opening this ahead. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord, thank you for your willingness to offer your shed blood. Thank you that Scripture says that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And you are willing to be that payment for sin. Help us to remember that and acknowledge that and use this time to draw closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And then it finishes up, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. All right, well, you guys can get down. Thank you. Well, I'm Dennis Williams, one of the elders. You guys hear that every other, almost every week. You had that acknowledgement. I'm one of the elders here, and we're taking turns, and today's my turn. And my wife and I were talking, and we were talking about questions. Questions. Do you ever have questions about the Christian faith? That's the introduction here. 1969. Boy, some of you guys, oh, I remember that. And some of you, those, well, before I was born. But 1969, there was Stevie Winwood, Eric Clapton, Ginger Baker, and Rick Gretsch formed a band. And they put out an album. And the album was the same as the name of the band, Blind Faith. How many of you remember that album? I sure do. Blind Faith. And why would they pick that name? Well, Stevie Winwood was in the band Traffic before that, and Eric Clapton and Ginger Baker were in Cream before that, and Rich Gretsch was in the band called Family. They were all superstars, and they got together. Hey, we started jamming, we're starting hanging out together, and this is a classic rock band that's got a name that you can't miss, because how can we lose? We're superstars. You just trust us. This is going to be awesome music. Well, it didn't last very long. They had one summer that they toured and part of the fall, and they all went their separate ways. They were so superstar, they had other things to go and do. And that's part of what I was thinking about. Is that the way we treat God? Oh, we can't question anything. We can't question anything. It's blind faith. Well, there is a sense of that. You bet. Hebrews talks about the faith as the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. We don't see everything in God's kingdom, and we do accept by faith. But maybe you got questions. Maybe, I don't understand this. Do you just drop it? Do you just stuff it? Do you just not have questions? So I'm going to talk about that a little bit. So assuming you've got questions, and I don't want to go too far with Scott's message 2 weeks ago about don't turn back while you're plowing and be burdened by the past, but maybe there are some lessons. He's mentioned at the end of the row, you get back and look, and then you can evaluate your plowing. So why did such and such happen to me in the past? You ever wonder that? Why did that happen? And you might say, oh, well, I made some poor choices, or it's just common to man, everybody has struggles, or it was preparing me for a future job or a present ministry or service, teaching me to be more dependent on God, proving God's faithfulness even in hard times. All those could be. How about what should I do today? I hope you ask that question. I do, but not maybe as frequently as I should. But you know, what am I going to do today? What do I know to do? Oh, I better do this, or maybe not do that. And what possibilities are out there? Do I have to evaluate options? What do I, kind of like Keith mentioned last week, what was your, I can't remember the title now, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? And bottom line is, show me, God, what do you want me to do today? And then what about the future? I know we're not supposed to worry about tomorrow. Today wasn't a worry of its own, and some of those passages, but there are also passages that talk about preparing for the future. So do you have questions about what can I plan for that I think will happen? I got something coming up, and I better make some plans. Do you ever plan to learn new things? I do. I hope you do. And study is part of that. Do you study? How about practice? It's easy for me to think that in terms of music, but there are other areas that you need to practice. And praying to see what to expect. What can I expect? I guess another way of looking at choices, too, is the who, what, when, and where. If I've got questions, and it's not necessarily spiritual and about God, but who do I ask when I've got questions to help me find an answer? Who? Hopefully an expert, or if it's questions about God, talk to someone who you value their faith walk, look in Scripture, talk to the Lord, pray. How about what? What do you have questions about? And we're all got a big spectrum. Again, if I have car questions, I might ask Keith a car question. Or if I have questions about heating, I might talk to my son-in-law, Luke. Or, you know, on and on. If I have plumbing questions, I'll talk to Tommy. How about when? Oh, most of us guys, I'm not going to ask for directions until I'm thoroughly lost, you know? Do you ask for help in answering your questions early or late? Or maybe in the middle there somewhere? And where do you look for action, for answers? And that ties in with who you go to, but I'm so frustrated, I don't know where to turn, I'm going to go down to the bar and have a few drinks. Is that where you would go for answers? I'm going to look for God's will and salvation in my political party. I'm going to look for answers and solutions in sports or what, you know, the on and on and on we can go. Well, let's read this passage. I'm going to start it out with in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. And if you look in the Bibles that are in the chairs, it's page 679. Page 679. Familiar passage, part of the Sermon on the Mount. And if you wanted to look in Luke chapter 11, 9 through 13, it's kind of the parallel passage. Very, very similar wording. And we don't hear this passage read except in the context of prayer. But I want to have you think about, because it is prayerful to get an answer to your question, think about questions as I read this. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Verse 9, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Ask. The Greek word there is aito, and it talks about an urgency and even kind of demanding, but it's also always present. Don't ask once. Keep asking. Keep asking. Seek, zeto in the Greek. Try to learn more. Investigate. Asking plus acting. I'm going to look through the paperwork. I'm going to ask more people, whatever, you know. That's more what seeking is. and knock, cruel in the Greek, more intensity than just seeking, more repetitious, more persistent. If you're reading that Luke passage, it comes right after. It talks about, you know, if your friend comes to visit you in the middle of the night and you need bread, you don't have any bread, you go to your neighbor and you knock on the door and say, "Hey, Charlie, I need some bread. I'm in bed, my kids are sleeping, you know. But Charlie, help." That's that passage that this passage that comes right before this passage. That's the kind of persistence. And now we know also, again, to balance scripture, Jesus does talk about, you know, the pagans think they'll be heard for their many, many words in how they pray in the temple. So we got to balance that. But there's definitely a time and a place to be persistent and faithful and hopeful. I'll read a little passage from Isaiah. Thinking of that idea of just believe God and don't question anything, don't have questions. In Isaiah 1:18 and 20, it says, "Come, let us settle the matter," or in the King James, "Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. They are red, though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Obedience is tied into the answering of questions. That's part of how we tune in. I'm thinking music this week for some reason, but that knocking at the door. I kept thinking of Dylan's song, "Knock, Knock, Knocking on Heaven's Door." I was thinking of that song too, "Knock, Knock, Knocking on Heaven's Door." Verse 8, "You will be rewarded. Everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened." You will be rewarded. And that door opened, again, that Greek term is anego. And it means to open, but sometimes it means to open again. Maybe you've prayed for an opening, for an opportunity, and it didn't happen. But maybe it was timing. And you pray it, and then again, it'll be opened. Some more verses. Jeremiah 29:13. "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Deuteronomy 4:29. "But if from there," this is Moses just before they go into the promised land, and he didn't go, if you recall. "But if you from there seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul." James 4, 2, the second half of verse 2 and verse 3. "You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." And then who would give a rock if you're asking for bread? Who would give a snake if you're asking for fish? How much more will God give you good things? And if you read in that Luke passage, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit? Speaking of good things. I think about that idea of bread, rocks as bread, and a snake as fish. I don't know about you. I got a lot of grandkids, you know that. And I really enjoyed taking the time with my grandkids when they're about two years old, sometimes as early as a year and a half, and they're playing with blocks or something, and they hand you a block, and I said, "Oh, did you make this cookie? Oh, I'll eat this cookie." And their eyes just light up. Imagination. Oh, Oh yeah, here's another one, Grandpa. And they do that, and it's really amazing to me. I really love that. So I play that often with the kids. Sometimes you go out in the yard in the sandbox and you pile a pile of dirt and you put some sticks in there. Hey, come blow out the candles. We got the birthday cake ready. You know, and that's what I was thinking about with this handing a piece of rock for a bread. And if you notice, that passage talks about bread and fish. What did they have at the feeding of the 5,000? Or the feeding of the 4,000? Or at the end of John, when they're out fishing in the lake and he comes to shore and he's got coals all set there and he's got broiled fish and bread? Wow, these are symbols and remembrances that we can draw back to that tie all that together. And, you know, I think this passage there is talking about, in a cruel way, giving something other than what someone is asking, right? If you're really in need of bread, giving somebody a rock is pretty cruel. My dad told a story when he was a little kid. His dad was an alcoholic, and they had a rough childhood. And my dad watched his dad drinking beer, and he innocently said, "Can I have some?" And my grandpa, I'll teach him a lesson. So he went in the kitchen and poured a full glass of vinegar and brought it back to me. "Have a big slug." That's painful for me to even recall that story, and I wasn't there at the time. That's kind of what I'm hearing in that story there. Giving bad answers to a question, or giving a bad answer to a request. But we can have fun. We can have April Fool's Day, where we can kind of play little practical jokes on each other, and we can lighten it up that way and stuff too. One time, I think I told this story. One time I was working, right after high school, I was working a night shift on a job, and I got home from work, and I was still living at Mom and Dad's house, and Mom had a fresh batch of chocolate chip cookies. Oh, right. I didn't turn all the lights on. I went in the fridge, got a glass of cold milk, and I'm watching Johnny Carson, and I'm dipping my cookie in the milk, and "These cookies are awful, Mom. What did you do?" I got done with my pile of cookies, and I went to drink the milk, and there was big slugs of clabbered milk. It wasn't the cookies' fault. My mom offered fine cookies, but I mixed it up with some spoiled milk. Well, let's move on to this other passage. Again, if you're looking in the Bibles on the chairs, that's page 847. And this is James chapter 1. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God." Ask God, "who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do." Verse 2 says, "Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials." Not if. Whenever. We're all going to have hard times. We all have, right? You're going to have hard times. Does that mean you didn't have enough faith? Does that mean you're slipping as a Christian? Well, you might be. But we're all going to have trials and hard things to go through. Verse 3, that testing produces perseverance. Back in that previous passage, the knocking on the door. Keep knocking? That's perseverance. Hey, it's not really very fun out here. I'm having a hard time. Well, that's no excuse. Keep hanging in there. Keep plugging away. And then verse 4, let perseverance finish its work. Won't God just do it to me? I have to let it? I have to use my will to submit, to embrace even some of that hard stuff? And verse 5, ask for wisdom. Oh, that's the question about questions I have of faith, questions I have about my relationships. Ask for wisdom. God loves it. And believe to receive. I'm going to read a couple other passages I don't have on the screen. Some examples from Scripture. Two examples from chapter 1 of the book of Luke. Oh yeah, Luke, chapter 1. Oh, that's the Christmas story, right? And part of this we've heard at Journey to Bethlehem so much, the part of Mary, but I'm going to read about Zechariah first. Chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, because the angel just told him about John the Baptist being born. How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I've been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens because you did not believe the words which will come true at their proper appointed time. Now we'll move down a little bit further. Same chapter, chapter 1, verses 34 to 38. The same angel comes to Mary. And we'll start in kind of the middle. And he tells Mary she'll be the mother of the Messiah. And Mary says, how will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Do you see the difference? They both ask questions, and how's this going to happen? Similar questions. But Zechariah didn't really think it was going to happen. I don't know what he thought. You know, he's in the temple. He's not on a drunken spree or in the middle of a dream in the night. He's in the temple when this happens, and the angel appears to him. But the scripture says right there, he did not believe. I don't believe it. I can't believe it. We're too old. Mary, on the other hand, she responds, yes, so be it. May it be fulfilled. So that the contrast are really illustrated in that. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You know, the thing about these questions, asking questions, do you ask questions of your friends or your spouse or your kids or your parents? That's part of relationship. That's part of relationship. And isn't that what God wants with us most of all? Relationship. It's not supposed to be just laws written on tablets of stone, not just rules, rules, rules. It's relationship. And that's what questions are about. I'm not sure. I want to know more. I would like to be obedient. I want to hear what you have to say to me. Tell me more. And that comes from a relationship with Christ, right? I had a friend who I would ask questions from about car repair, and I probably talked about him before too, but Brian Mallory. And I was at my parents' house downstate, and I had car trouble. I had something broken on my car, my van. I didn't know how to even find the problem, so I called up Brian. Brian, what do I do? And he said, lay down on the floor. Oh, I laid down on the floor. He said, okay, you got your head towards the engine and your feet down towards the back of the car. Now you put your left hand up, you're going to see. And he named the parts of the car I would see, and he talked me through, this is where you're going to find what you're looking for. He answered my question in a very visual way without even being there. That's relationship. Brian was speaking my language, his language, and we could get it together. That's what Christ wants for us. That's what Christ is wanting for us, to be that close to him. He could say, hey, you know, I'm not sure he's sure what you're going through, but let's walk this through. Let me give you an illustration. Let me talk to you. Look at that out there in the yard. You see that dog going by or whatever, you know? God uses illustrations and talks to us, talks to me and shows you different things that I never thought about it that way. And oh, that adds so much life. If you are saying, what is he talking about? If you don't know Christ, if you've never said yes, you know, I had the opportunity this week with a friend, and scary time for him, lots of questions, and I said, how's your relationship with God? Have you ever said yes? Because God's offering salvation and relationship, and he wants to be near us. Have you ever done that? And he said, no. I said, would you like to? He said, yes. He said, yes. That was the highlight of my week. If you would like to do that, I'm not going to burden you with a formula prayer, but if your heart is seeking after God, if you want a relationship, if you want answers to your questions in life, let's pray. Maybe it's your day to say yes. Yes, God, I want that relationship. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you want to be a friend of sinners. Because you're a friend of me, and I'm a sinner. But thank you, Lord, that you reach out to us. You ask us to respond. You have pleasures in store for us. You have answers to our questions. You have purpose you give us in life. Not to mention heaven as an offering. Help us, each one of us, to look to you, to lean on you, and to yield to you. And if anybody wants to receive Christ right now, please come and talk to me afterwards, or talk to Keith or one of the other leaders in the church here. Please guide us this afternoon as we go on with our Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.